I want to start with a question. Do you know what's beneath the ground that your house or apartment was built on? Most people have no clue. I have no idea. They find a home they like in an area they desire and move in. And it could be that it's just some dirt and rocks. Or perhaps there's something more. Something or someone buried underneath your home. Back in the early 1980s, residents of the newly developed Newport subdivision, located just outside of Houston, Texas, started experiencing something otherworldly. This is the haunting of Black Hope Cemetery. Just outside of Houston, Texas, is a neighborhood. The Newport subdivision, known for its upscale homes and manicured lawns. In the early 1980s, Sam and Judith Haney settled into a home at the far western edge of the development. Sam Haney described it as their dream house. He said when they bought the house in Newport, it was the home they had always been looking for. And it was a place they intended to stay in for a long time, possibly forever. And they were making a lot of plans to make the house their own. One of these plans included putting in a swimming pool in their backyard. They had plenty of space for it and had always wanted a pool. They thought it would be great for family to come over. They were looking forward to hosting get-togethers. They had just laid out the plans and were beginning construction on the pool. But there was a morbid secret about the Haney's perfect home, one that soon turned their lives into a never-ending nightmare. Sam said it all began with a knock at the door. One afternoon, a mysterious stranger showed up at the Haney's front door with an ominous warning. The elderly man told Sam that he had noticed they were putting a swimming pool in their backyard. Sam said, "Yeah." The older man then looked at him and said, "There was something about their backyard that Sam needed to know." So this mystery gentleman and Sam made their way to the backyard. And the man pointed at the ground and said, "There are some graves right here." He then marked a spot on the ground where they were and said, "There are two graves right here." Sam said he didn't really know how to react to that. He didn't know who this man was, if he was crazy, or if he was joking. He said he couldn't understand why anyone would joke about something like that, but the entire encounter was strange. When purchasing the home, the developers and realtors never said a word about their home being built on a cemetery, so this was all just really shocking. The mysterious man then walked off, and he never saw or heard from him ever again. But this left Sam standing there in the backyard, wondering what in the world just happened. Sam went in and told his wife, Judith, about the mysterious man and what he told him. It was at this point that Judith said the entire tone of the home shifted. That day, they realized that their dream home was actually a graveyard. There are bodies in the backyard. After the strange visit from the mystery man alerting the couple their backyard was actually a cemetery, the Haneys felt they needed to know if this was for real. So using a backhoe, Sam decided to see if the man's claims were true. So they got to digging. Sam says it wasn't long before they hit something. He said, "At that point, we stopped with the backhoe and we got down into the hole and continued digging by hand. There were pine boards. When we lifted up the first board, we could see an indentation of a skeletal form. It didn't take long to figure out that it was actual human remains." What Sam had found was an old-fashioned pine coffin, and over the years, the coffin had been crushed from the weight of the earth. Sam immediately called the sheriff and county coroner, and they officially exhumed the bodies. They found that most of the bones had turned to powder, but 25 fragments were found, some so brittle that they actually disintegrated when touched. A second coffin, located alongside the first, seemed to be untouched, but there were skeletal remains in that one as well. The mystery man was right. The Haneys were living on top of a burial site. Inside the coffins, two wedding rings were discovered on the frail index finger of one of the exposed skeletons. Now, Judith Haney was mortified by the discovery and felt awful. As they handed Judith the rings, she said she felt sick to her stomach to think they had desecrated someone's grave. Again, this couple had no knowledge that they were moving on top of a cemetery, or else they wouldn't have moved in. Wanting desperately to do the right thing, the Haneys decided to find out whose remains were buried in their backyard. And their search led them to a longtime resident named Jasper Norton. Years earlier, Norton told them that he had dug several graves in the area. He also informed the Haneys something that horrified them. He told them that their home and a dozen others in the neighborhood were built on top of an old African-American cemetery called Black Hope. The last burial was in 1939, and as many as 60 people were buried there in often unmarked graves. In this time period, many people would mark their graves however they could, sometimes with markings on trees or with little stones. The two people buried in the Haney's backyard were identified as Betty and Charlie Thomas. Reports say the couple was freed from slavery after the Civil War, and they both died during the 1930s. Time passed, and eventually the land was sold off to developers. If the real estate developers did know this was a cemetery, they did not inform any of the residents of this fact. So the Haneys were faced with a big question. What do you do when you find two bodies in your backyard? Your choices are either leave them be or move them. And Judith and Sam Haney made a decision. With no members of the Thomas family still there, they felt it was their responsibility. So they reburied Betty and Charlie in their own backyard, wanting to respect and cohabitate with them and pray their spirits would rest in peace. But after this, everything changed. It began one night as Judith was lying in bed. She said there was a clock in her bedroom, and one evening, it started sparking and putting out a sort of blue glow. When Judith checked the clock, she found that it was unplugged. And this was only the beginning of the Haney's ordeal. Another evening, Sam Haney left and worked the night shift, leaving Judith home alone. That night, she was upstairs getting ready for bed, when suddenly, she heard the sliding glass door open downstairs and heard what she thought was Sam saying, "What are you doing?" These sliding glass doors opened to their backyard. Judith assumed that her husband had come back home and perhaps left something. So she called out to him, walked downstairs, but found no one there. It was completely dark. Sam wasn't there, and the sliding glass door was locked. With everything that had happened, Judith said she thought she was losing her mind. Finding the burial site must have really gotten to her, and so she tried to brush it off. The next morning, she woke up and went to her closet to get ready for the day. Judith began looking for a specific pair of red shoes, ones she liked wearing, but she couldn't find them anywhere. Sam started looking for them too, and the couple went through all of their closets, but they were gone. Later that day, the couple was in their backyard and had just walked a short distance from where the grave sites were, when Sam looked over and spotted something. He could see something on top of the graves. They walked over to find Judith's red shoes placed on top of the graves. The shoes were right there, both side by side, like someone had just picked them up, carried them over, and laid them down on the gravesite. Even more disturbing to Sam was the realization what day it was. They looked at the records and saw it was Betty Thomas's birthday. Now, Sam said, "I kind of got the feeling like it was Charlie giving Betty a birthday present." But Judith felt differently. She said, "I began to come to the realization that this was not all in my mind, and that this had to have some relationship to Betty and Charlie's graves being disturbed. Their spirits were saying, this isn't right." And to their amazement, the Haneys were not alone. A dozen of their neighbors also began reporting strange issues in their homes. Lights, televisions, and water faucets turning on and off. Residents reported hearing unearthly sounds, and some even saw supernatural apparitions. Even worse, these paranormal events were becoming malicious. Residents of the subdivision wondered if the spirits of the gravesite were angered and were seeking vengeance on the neighborhood. Just like the Haneys, another couple a few doors down, Ben and Jean Williams, thought that they had found their suburban paradise when they moved into the same neighborhood. But Jean said she never felt at peace in the house. From the moment that they moved in, something felt off. She said she first became alarmed when she began trying to garden. She said when she tried to plant new plants, They all died. Every single one of them. She tried fertilizer, but no matter what she did, they would not live. She also said she had a constant foreboding feeling. A feeling that things were not right or something bad was about to happen. And she was right. Shortly after moving in, the Williams said that near their flower bed, sinkholes appeared in the unmistaken shape of coffins. The Williams would fill them in, only to have them mysteriously reappear a few days later. They also found there were markings on an oak tree by the sinkholes, with an arrow towards the ground with two horizontal slash marks, which years ago, tree markings were used to indicate how many graves were there. And the Williams found out that there were two bodies buried on their property, just like the Haneys. But it wasn't just outside the home. The Williams felt their house was being invaded by a menacing presence. They began seeing random shadows sliding along the walls, followed by the sound of disembodied whispering. They also reported a putrid smell coming out of nowhere within the home. At the time, the Williams' granddaughter, Carly, was living with the couple. And even during the blazing heat of summer, Carly said she would stumble into bone-chilling areas of ice-cold air inside the home. She said it would be very, very chilly and you'd have this feeling that something wasn't right. Anywhere in the house, you'd have a feeling that you were not alone. Someone was watching you. It terrified me to be in the house by myself. And get this, really eerie. The family said the toilets used to flush on their own. And as the water went down, they could hear voices emerging from below. It was almost like conversations. Carly said you could hear people murmuring to themselves. It was a presence or spirit or something there. Something that wanted to be heard. Wanted me to know it was there. Toilet voices? Ghosts are haunting toilets now? Oh my gosh. I mean, come on. One day, Carly and her grandma were in one of the bedrooms upstairs and decided to lay down and take a nap. When suddenly they heard someone come in through the back door. They listened as this person walked around the first floor and then listened as they heard footsteps coming up the hall towards them. They both sat up, anxiously looking towards the door. At this point, they believed someone was in the house. They just didn't know who. They got up, looked down the hall, looked all over, everywhere. But there was not a soul in sight. No one they could see anyways. Jean Williams believed that all of these things happened to them because they were on the graveyard and felt that they were simply going to be tormented until they left. As things got worse, the Williams debated what to do next. They thought about packing up and leaving, but said they didn't have enough money to make a down payment on another home. So they made a deal that they were going to stick it out, and they said, we've always been fighters, we're going to stay right here and fight it and try to beat it. And according to Ben, it wasn't long before he got his chance to fight. One evening, he said he came home from work around midnight and walked straight to the kitchen to get something to eat. He opened up the refrigerator door, and that's when he looked up to see two ghostly figures in his living room. He watched in horror as the two apparitions moved slowly straight back towards his bedroom where his wife was sleeping. As he watched, he said the two entities shifted into one spirit. He followed it down the hall and saw it was now standing about a foot and a half from the end of the bed, over his wife's body as she slept. Wanting to protect his wife and not knowing what to do, he dove through the mass. When he did, he said he felt a sticky cold sensation all over his body. And after this, things took a major turn and got even worse, if you can imagine it. In rapid succession, six of the Williams family members were all diagnosed with cancer, one after another after another. Three succumbed to the disease and passed away. The Williams believed that this amount of sickness and death within this time frame was paranormal, and they couldn't help but connect all of this to the haunting. Now, back down the street at the Haneys, things were getting worse by the day. Judith said the haunting caused her life to unravel. She said, I was crying all the time. I was frightened. I was scared of doing my daily routine in my own home. But what can you do? Well, the Haneys decided to fight back in court. They actually sued the developer for not disclosing that their home was built over a cemetery. In part so that everyone would know what was happening in their subdivision. a jury awarded them $142,000 for the mental anguish. But a reversal ruled on legal grounds that the developers were actually not liable. So with the initial verdict thrown out, the Haneys were ordered to pay $50,000 in court costs, and from there, it all really fell apart for the family. And at that point, the Haneys ended up deciding to file for bankruptcy. All in all, they ended up losing the case, losing the money, and losing the house. The Haneys really had no idea what they were getting themselves into when they purchased that home, and the situation they ended up in was devastating, both mentally and financially. Back down the street, the Williams also explored legal recourse, but said they were told without definitive proof of a cemetery on their property, nothing could be done. At her wit's end, it was then that Jean made the decision that she came to regret for the rest of her life. She said she had hit her breaking point, and this was the final straw. She said, quote, "You want a body? I'll show you a body," end quote. Her plan was to prove that they were on a burial site. She said she believed she could dig about 2 feet a day and figured that she would eventually reach a body and then be able to take this to the courts. So one day, Jean started digging in the backyard. She was frustrated and determined to end all of this. But soon after she started digging, Jean started to feel strange and immediately fell ill. Feeling so bad, she stepped back, and her adult daughter, Tina, who was there with her, saw her mom get sick and volunteered to finish the job. After digging for about 30 minutes, Tina also started feeling extremely sick, and she too fell ill. Carly, Tina's daughter, was there that day and said, "I remember her saying that she felt funny. She was getting dizzy as well. She put the shovel down and she went back inside. She just laid down on the couch. She's like, 'Mom, Daddy, I don't feel right. There's something wrong.' The last thing I remember is her saying, 'Mommy, take care of my baby. Take care of my baby.'" As the family was panicking while waiting for paramedics to arrive, Jean tried to keep her daughter conscious, keep her talking, but she was slipping. She said almost immediately her eyes started to glaze over. She pled with her, "Please, Tina, talk to me." But eventually, Tina wasn't responding at all. Tina had suffered a massive heart attack, and 2 days later, she died. She had just turned 30 years old. Wow. After this, Jean really took on all the guilt from her daughter's tragic death and said she realized that she had desecrated another grave and said that now she was paying. After this, the Williams knew they had to leave the home immediately. Jean said, "We have to get out of here. It doesn't matter what we lose, what we had." They both knew that if they didn't, neither of them would make it out alive. The Williams put their house on the market and moved. The couple escaped to Montana and years later moved back to another house in another neighborhood in Texas. After this, things went back to normal. They didn't experience any other paranormal events, and they were no longer plagued by backyard cemeteries, mysterious noises, horrific apparitions, or heartbreaking tragedies. Now, the big question is, what about the new residents in the neighborhood? What happened there? Shockingly, none of the current residents have ever reported any kind of paranormal activity. Can you believe that? It's like it started with those families and ended the day they moved out. To this day, although it's been widely discussed, no one has ever been able to provide a logical explanation as to what happened to the Williams or the Haneys. But all of the families firmly believe and know that if they wouldn't have left, they wouldn't have lived to tell the tale. They were counting number days while they were there. Wherever you land on the paranormal spectrum, whether you believe, whether you don't, I find it especially hard to dismiss aspects of this story. The widespread cancer in family members, the death of a seemingly healthy 30-year-old on the property who began digging up the graves and 2 days later, she's dead. That's not logical. You've got to start thinking there's something more going on there. And you have nearly the entire neighborhood coming together, all experiencing similar things. It wasn't one or even just two families. House after house was affected. It's not a haunted home, it's like a haunted neighborhood. And this story really goes down as one of the most shocking and brutal cases I have ever heard of. What happened in that neighborhood remains a supernatural mystery.